If you thought Medicare was old-fashioned, you haven't heard the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that proudly speaks the Queen's English. Air Force ROTC was fun, but he earns more as a Medicare expert. Here is Doug Jones.
Hey, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man. And I am your Medicare expert, Doug Jones. I have just cracked Randy up. I'd love to start the process with him laughing uncontrollably, and I managed to do it again. I try it a lot and I fail a lot, but this time it worked out okay. And hello, everybody. It's wonderful to have you with us. You just heard the introduction from my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, who is a big-time Canadian entertainer with his own TV show that apparently we're seeing the last season on. That would be Powerboat TV, which you Yanks can watch on powerboattv.com. They've got all of their past episodes on their website. But anyway, I can't get over Randy yucking it up in there, and whatever I was doing just entertained the heck out of him. So I'm glad to have him. We are here to help people feel comfortable about the transition to Medicare. Sometimes we call them lazy people. That's where we got the name of the book, Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever. The 2021 edition is the one you'd be looking for if you went to Amazon right now to buy that book. We also have the audio book. We have the Kindle ebook, and we have the regular paperback book, all for your reading pleasure. We have a fantastic website. If you went to the website and said, I think I'd like to have Doug tell me what it would cost for me to get Medicare insurance to cover the gaps in Medicare. I will fill out some of this information, click the button that sends it right to Doug. You can do that on our website, ask for a quote, or you can fill out a lengthier questionnaire, and I will then do your applications for you. And then, of course, we have this podcast, which we do three times a week. And we're always happy to have you come and join us for the podcast. Now, Randy Carson, who you just, you didn't hear him yucking it up, but I got to watch him. That was pretty funny. He is the knob twister for this episode and, frankly, all episodes of this podcast. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Doug. It's, about 2 o'clock in your end of the world?
Yeah, that's my end of the world. The real world is where you are, and that's
I'm still at noon, just not quite noon. Yeah. And we also still go by real world time. We don't believe in this daylight savings time crap.
I know. It makes it confusing when the rest of the world changes out from under you, though, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, I was born and raised, on a ranch back in the Midwest. And we always used to say, you know, the cows don't know that the time has changed.
Yeah, that's what you used to say. But in reality, didn't slow down the powers that be, did it?
No, it didn't. And I heard what I read someplace recently. Well, you know, within the last month, because I do a lot of reading, that somebody is trying to make that daylight savings time permanent year-round 365 by 24.
Well, that would give the cows plenty of time to figure it out. I got to tell you, we've talked about time before and how the time zones came to be and all that stuff. I am a big fan of daylight savings time. I wouldn't care if it was daylight savings time all year round because I like having it light at the end of the day. As opposed to up here in Illinois, this godforsaken hellhole, it gets dark at 5 o'clock, 4:30 in the afternoon sometimes, and that's depressing. And so, frankly, if in the wintertime, if it stayed light an hour longer, I would at least have an hour more sanity than I do have currently. Although I'm not up here in the wintertime if I can avoid it.
But do you realize, Doug, how difficult it is to get a wristwatch on a cow?
Yes, I do. And to teach them to pay attention to it, to teach them how to tell time, it's got to be impossible.
I know. So, it just, we've tried and tried, and it just doesn't work well. But let's go off on another fun topic.
Oh, boy.
Once again, I have come up with some Stump the Insurance Expert questions.
This is my favorite part of the whole podcast.
It's mine, too. Believe it or not, it really is mine, because I thoroughly enjoy some of the stuff I come up with. But, you know, Doug is so good. You know, people in the audience, Doug is so good at answering this stuff. Half of the time, you know, I pull out one that I think, oh, this is going to be impossible for Doug to figure out. And, you know, quite often he does, because he's a very well-read individual. So here we go.
You asked me what my name was once, and I got that one wrong, as I recall.
Here we go. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
June 17th, 1972. Who got arrested?
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. John Lennon?
Nope.
Okay, I'm guessing it was June 17th, 1972. Well, I can almost tell you where I was. And it was almost me, to tell you the truth, a couple of months later, and I had a little run-in with the police department, and it changed my life. I was a good boy from then on.
Yeah?
But, yeah, it was an automobile accident, but
nobody
got seriously hurt except, yours truly. I bit my steering wheel, so that led to some dental work, but the police told me, hey, you look like a good kid. Go and sin no more. So I'm back in June 17th of 1972.
June 17th, 1972.
So I'm guessing it was a political figure.
Yes, it's very, very, very tightly tied to our political history.
Okay, Martin Luther King?
Nope.
Sirhan.
I'm going to give you one clue, and then I know you're going to get it, because this is such a famous episode in the United States history.
Okay.
Men who were Cuban exiles were arrested.
Oh. Bay of Pigs was long before that. Oh, Watergate.
Watergate, you got it.
Oh, man.
June 17th, 1972, five men are arrested for breaking into the Democratic National Committee headquarters at the Watergate building.
Yeah. The interesting thing is that after in the late 70s, when we would go down to Destin, Florida, every February or thereabouts, we would drive through Eglin Air Force Base in the panhandle of Florida. And that is where there's a federal penitentiary there that is a country club prison, it looks like, or they say that it is. And that's where a lot of the Watergate guys were incarcerated. And the interesting thing is that driving through that prison, there are no walls, no gates. You've got an Alabama or a U.S. state route that goes right through Eglin and right through that prison. And the prison is just like Cool Hand Luke. It's just a bunch of screened shacks scattered around in the woods with storm shutters on them. Pretty weird.
That is a little strange. Is it a federal prison?
Yeah, because it's right on the Air Force Base.
Ah, okay. Well, you know, there is one phrase that became almost burned into my mind during that period of the Watergate and all that, the investigations and the testimony. I don't recall.
Sure. And that became Hillary Clinton's famous retort when people asked her about her possibly criminal activities. I don't recall. Nope, she did.
To the best of my recollection, I don't recall.
Well, I'm sure glad you didn't ask me to name all those guys, because other than G. Gordon Liddy and Magruder, Jeb Stuart Magruder, I couldn't come up with the rest of the names.
Well, you know, I used to know them all just about, because it went on for so long, but I don't know them anymore. But you know what? We need to get going. I'm gonna pull out the hammer, the old Medicare for the Lazy Man hammer, I'm gonna ask you to go after it and get her done.
All righty. Well, let's do it right now. I have mailbag items. Knowing that a weekend is coming, it seems to me that you would probably like to be able to go up to the the Buffalo Chip and not be accosted by fans of the show who are concerned about not having enough mailbag items recently. So I just grabbed this pile. Let me see if I can figure out what people are asking me here. We have a woman named Kathy who wrote in. She actually went to the website and clicked on the questionnaire and filled out a bunch of the information. And then I asked in the questionnaire, I said, do you have any comments or questions? And she said, I'm covered by my spouse's policy and he's a year younger. His company pays for it, although it is an individual policy because the company is so small. It is my understanding that I can stay covered under his policy until he qualifies for Medicare. Is this correct? And then he says, my husband is on and a pretty serious drug, and to get insurance by himself has proved cost prohibitive. I am concerned about applying for Medicare insurance on my own and then having him not be able to find insurance for the 14 months until he turns 65. Now, this occurred because he's got a medical problem and she is approaching 65 rapidly. If she leaves this plan to go on Medicare, as she would probably like to do, then she's worried about him having difficulties because he's left on the plan by himself. And so here was my response. So I said, thank you for writing. My understanding of the individual insurance you likely have is limited, because she didn't give me a lot of detail, but I think you are in an excellent position right now. This is one of these times where somebody thinks they have a problem, they ask me a question, and I'm able to give them some pretty good news. So I said, I think you're in an excellent position right now, because even if you terminate your dependent coverage to go on Medicare next January, your husband's coverage should remain in place until he becomes eligible for Medicare in March of 2023. I really think you should confirm this with the insurance company, but this is my expectation. Termination of your dependent coverage should not have a negative impact on his insurance coverage. If or when you enroll in Medicare, my guess is that you will have a much more substantial protection with a much lower deductible and freedom to seek treatment from any medical provider in the United States. In short, with a good Medicare supplement and prescription drug plan, I think you will find it to be an improvement over the individual plan you currently have. The link below may help you to think through this situation. And then I connected her, or I showed her a link that is basically healthcare.gov, which is theoretically some kind of government site. But it says answers to questions about changing from marketplace insurance to Medicare. That's what the link would lead her to. And I said, if your decision is to enroll in Medicare starting January 1st, you probably already know that you can begin the application process for Part A and Part B on or after October 1st. Once your acceptance has been confirmed via a benefit verification letter or receipt of your Medicare ID card, I would be happy to help you enroll in the Medicare supplement and Part D plan of your choice. If I can answer any other questions or assist in any other way, be sure to let me know. Now, you might be asking yourself, why didn't I haul out the club and threaten to hit her with it if she didn't go to the Amazon site and leave a customer review? Well, the reason I didn't is because she didn't say that she actually read the book. So I don't know whether she read the book, didn't read the book, or whether she doesn't even know about the book. That's entirely possible too. So I wanted to maintain a good relationship with her. So this is in response to a phone call I got from a woman named, whose last name is, well, I shouldn't give out the last name, but got a very ethnic first name. So I'm just going to say Mrs. X. This is Mrs. X. So I said, thank you for calling me the other day. I promised to show you some alternatives to Medicare Advantage plans. She called me and she said, all right, so I'm thinking about getting on Medicare and what do you sell? And I said, Medicare supplements. She said, oh, really? I don't know anything about those. So I said, here are some alternatives to Medicare Advantage plans. So that is what follows. I went to three highly rated companies with strong market presence in order to find out what they would charge you for the most comprehensive plan available, that's Plan G, as well as the most cost-effective plan available, which is high deductible Plan G. And reading through all these numbers that I sent her, the most cost-effective of these is, well, it's almost a tie between Mutual of Omaha and Humana for the Plan G. But then typically I convince people that high deductible Plan G is the way to go. And hands down, we've got a company, United American, that has a $51 monthly high premium for high deductible Plan G. And in her state, that is a very attractive rate for a Medicare supplement plan. So then I said, you did not mention having read my book, so I've attached two chapters. One is an explanation of the way high deductible Medicare supplement plans can offer premium savings. And the other chapter itemizes some of the pitfalls in Medicare Advantage plans. In your particular case, using the quotes listed, the least expensive Plan G would be so-and-so at 183. The least expensive high deductible Plan G would be United American at $51. The Plan G would cost you $2,205 for the year, while the high deductible Plan G would only cost you $612 for the year, a savings of almost $1,600. In a worst case scenario, you, the insured, would sustain a great deal of medical treatment, paying a 20% share until that share equaled $2,370, after which the plan pays 100% for the balance of the year. However, in that worst case scenario, we would subtract the savings and your amount that you would have to pay over and above your normal year would only be $776, more than you would have just had to pay for the high deductible plan premium. So the amount you're risking by rolling the dice and hoping not to have an unusually bad year of expensive medical treatment, the amount you're risking would be $776. Now that seems pretty reasonable for a person that typically does not have a bad year. So this is what I try to tell people who are concerned about taking a lot of extra risk. Most people, if they had to, and they wouldn't like it, most people are able to come up with an additional $700 or $800 for the cost of treatment in a given year if they can save considerable money during the rest of that year and the year after and the year after that and the year before maybe. So that's what I'm talking about when I talk about Medicare, high deductible Medicare supplement plans. And so we have another letter here. Who is this? Oh, this is from Becky. She's in Houston and she's a new client, she and her husband, Lester. A few episodes ago, we had the ballad of Lester and Becky, but she asked me a question earlier in June. She said, hey, Doug, we have a question regarding the Part B deductible. When do we pay the 200 and something for each of our Part B deductibles? We paid 3 months each of premium. How does the initial deductible work? We may see the doctor or not in the next 3 or 4 months. Please tell us how that works. And I said, hi, Becky. The Part B deductible changes every year. This year, January to December of 2021, the amount is $203. Neither of you will pay any part of that deductible unless or until you have some outpatient medical expenses. These could include doctor's office visits, laboratory tests, or even emergency room visits. Anything that is not considered a Part A expense. Part A is for inpatient expenses. So anyway, if or when you incur some of these Part B expenses for the first time in a year, Medicare will send an explanation of benefits to the billing provider, telling them how much of the charge is due to your deductible. Then the doctor or lab or other billing provider will send an invoice directly to you. Anything over $203 is paid at 80% with the balance handed off to the Medicare supplement plan. Then I said, how did I do? And then I said, thanks for the podcast content, Becky. Well, this occurred on June 2nd, so I must have been psycho be able to see that this was going to wind up on an episode of Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And Becky said, thanks, you are so funny. I guess she means funny ha-ha because some people have called me funny odd. And then she said, we're staying in Galveston for our birthday and having a good time. Well, I had forgotten that Becky and her husband, Lester, have the same birthday. I don't know how long they've known each other, but they were both born on the same day in June in 1956. So that's pretty weird, huh? Highly unusual. So how are we doing time-wise?
We're out.
Okay, well, darn it. But you had me going with those Watergate conspirators. So that was
a good one. I know. But, you know, there's a really good thing that we're going to end up this episode with. I haven't really approved this through Mr. Jones, but we're going to offer some specials if you go to Amazon.com to order up his book. Buy three, pay three, pay for three, which is a very good, it's a very good deal.
I like it.
And you know what this is in honor of?
What is that?
Today, you may not know this, but is National Apple Strudel Day. So if you go to Amazon.com, we've got a National Apple Strudel, sale going on. Buy three, pay for three.
Well, do you have to be German to take advantage of that particular offer?
Yeah, you do.
Strudel. Yeah. Give me some strudel.
Strudel, we want some strudel.
Well, I applaud.
So anyway, we need to thank our audience, as always. We have just a wonderful time working for you guys. And if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have any fun at all, would we, Doug?
No, we wouldn't. And we would be standing at the mailbox hoping against hope that another letter would come in. So yep. They should not feel shy about contacting us if the questions arise.
And on that topic, you know, I think we have just been so excited we've forgotten to mention this, but send your letters, emails to Doug at dbj@medicareforthelazyman.com. That's the quickest way to get to him.
I believe there's even a shorter answer that you came up with a while back. It's mlmmailbag.com.
Oh, that's right.
DBJ.
DBJ at mlmmailbag.com.
Right, exactly. So
either one of those works. So I want you know, promise me you're going to go out after this podcast and write a letter to Doug, because he's just moved back to Illinois and land of Pugsley, and he's looking for some things in his mailbag, and they're just not coming in quite yet.
No, although I do have a pretty healthy stack of stuff to plow through. So even if they don't write immediately, I do have content for our next few episodes.
That's good. That's good to hear. Always so glad to hear that. Well,
thank you
everybody. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you for the stump the expert question. That was a fantastic one. I always appreciate that. I hope Dominic can give you some new ones.
Well, I'm hoping Dominic, you know, is studying and doing all that right as we speak, because I drizzled his along as he gave me six, uh-huh. And I drizzled him along as long as I could. But Dominic, I'm out. So help me out.
Well, I the thing I'm really sorry about is that my lengthy, voluminous list of jokes about who is the guy from Oklahoma? The martial artist that we all enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
Walker, Texas Ranger.
Chuck Norris.
I'm still smarting over the failure of my Chuck Norris jokes to get a rousing audience appreciation. So I'm hoping that Dominic can top that.
I loved him to death. Well, audience, thank you so much for joining us. You could have been 1,000 different places, and you weren't. You were here with Doug and I listening to the podcast. Doug puts a lot of work into this, so we always appreciate you coming into the studio and listening to us. But in the meantime, you have today spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, and the CEO of MedicareForTheLazyMan.com and the head pilot.
That ought to be enough for anybody.
You bet.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.